Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome to another episode of Gore Buddies, featured on WFAN in New York. And your host, Pete Hoffman, is here. And I'm being joined right now by a very special guest, Ryan Turek, Vice President of Feature Film Development for Blumhouse, executive producer on The Black Phone, Halloween, Five Nights at Freddy's. Ryan, welcome to the fan. You don't understand how happy you make my life, even though the movies you make are not very happy, I guess you could say.
We do have a thing. Well, first off, Peter, thanks for having me on. And we do have a film called Happy Death Day. So we do try to make people happy. But yeah, there's that contrast there for sure, man.
So, Ryan, let me just, obviously, as you're here for, it's a halfway to Halloween, it's a film festival that's taking place. It's going to be amazing. But just before we get into all that, I need to know, what got you into the horror genre? Because I am such a fanboy of horror movies. Everyone knows my history. Tell us your history.
Yeah. Listen, I grew up, I'm a Connecticut guy. So I grew up in a very fun New England town. And my folks, my mom was very good with art, and my dad is, my dad was a horror movie fanatic. So the combination of the two bringing me up, it was just destined to be that I would wind up in the horror film business. And my mom would create elaborate Halloween costumes. My dad would show me movies like Evil Dead and Evil Dead 2. You know, when it came time to figure out where to go to college, you know, I went to school at SVA in Manhattan, and you know, where I got to meet guys like Wes Craven and other horror, you know, horror filmmakers. And yeah, the path was just laid out really easily. And you know, my favorite movie is Fright Night from 1985. That's one of my favorites, and one of the first I saw in theaters. It was destined to be.
Well, listen, I mean, first of all, you say Wes Craven, and my brain just explodes, because Nightmare on Elm Street is my, that's my series. That's my shit right there. Dude, yeah. Like I know everything about, I mean, I have documentary upon documentary. I have every single, like, you know, whatever behind the scene footage, whatever it is. Like, I'm just obsessed with Freddy Krueger, Nightmare on Elm Street as a whole, but Wes Craven, the brilliance of him, what he did with New Nightmare was amazing. But you did mention Fright Night, which was the first one that you kind of got into. Now, here's the funny thing about horror movies today. You tell me if I'm wrong. Yeah. It's, especially with the movies that you make, with Megan, with Black Phone, like, these movies are original ideas, whereas a lot of other movies are, you know, in the mainstream, just are basic, like, remakes and stuff like that. And I feel like the horror genre has so many different, like, it allows you to be creative. It gives you that open-ended, like, let's try to experiment. Let's figure something out. Let's not just do what everyone else is doing. And you talk about Fright Night, and they made a remake of it. A, did you like it? And B, what are your thoughts on just horror movies as a whole being original these days?
Yeah, listen, I mean, like, I've been at this game for long enough to know that horror, you know, listen, when I grew up, I was one of those fans that was like, no remakes. How dare they do this? How dare they do that? And then just embrace the independent spirit of all horror films. And as I got older, and well before I got into the biz, I was just a little bit more accepting of remakes. You know, Zack Snyder did a great remake with Dawn of the Dead. I thought Dawn of the Dead held up and held on its own. Fright Night, Craig Gillespie, who is now a big filmmaker in his own right, did that movie. And I thought he brought some interesting things to it for sure. And Colin Farrell is always a fun actor. But listen, I mean, I think there is room for everything out there. We just happen to be living in a time where there, you know, the original horror film is thriving, and, you know, we're part of that, but we also make room for, listen, I'm not going to, you know, Jason, myself, and the rest of the company are not going to say no when Halloween comes along and gives us opportunity to put our mark on that, you know? So all that is to say is, horror is a great place for inclusivity, but also telling stories of all types. And, you know, I mean, like, horror is just a giant umbrella. There are so many subgenres, but underneath that, you know, vampires, zombies, supernatural, slasher, et cetera, et cetera. So it's just like, let's just explore it all and have fun.
Dude, it's like rock music. There's just so many different genres of rock.
That's
music.
Right.
It's ridiculous. You got
now we're talking. Alternative.
You got everything. So it's outrageous. So you've mentioned Halloween, by the way. And again, Ryan Turek is joining us right now. Blumhouse executive, a producer of some amazing films, and you know, we'll get into the halfway mark, the halfway Fright Fest for Halloween that's coming up in a bit. But you mentioned Halloween, and I need to know from you, were you guys satisfied and happy with that conclusion of Halloween, which is a classic, horror series that's been running forever with Jamie Lee Curtis, and how that ended in the last one? I think a lot of fans were just not confused, but it was a completely different take. You're involving somebody else into the murders, into the killings. Were you guys satisfied with the final product?
Controversial question. Listen, man, I mean, you know, I think did we capture the fans like we wanted to with that finale? No. Was it a success? Not as strong as the first one, but, you know, I will say this, you know, I'm very proud of the trilogy we made. If I was a fan, if I was like out on the outside looking in, I would be super appreciative of, you know, the big swings that we took with that series. And I'm very happy with it. I was across all three of the films. They sit, you know, very deep in my heart, and I love them all. And I know too that, you know, in time it'll just be remade again and someone else will put their own stamp on it. You know, I mean, like, listen, we all know that John Carpenter produced and had a hand in Halloween 3 Season of the Witch, which was, you know, reviled back in the early 80s and now is considered a cult classic. Mm-hmm. Horror films take time to get embraced by film, like by, you know, horror fans. The Thing, John Carpenter's The Thing, came out in the early 80s and got trashed by the critics. Trashed. And people embrace that. That's now a classic, you know. So listen, I mean, like, it's a complicated answer to your question, but in short, I'm happy with what we did. Very happy.
Well, I'm happy. Listen, I'm happy that you guys continue to try to keep these movies alive, keep different audiences up to date with these type of films. Because again, like, especially now with all these different, like, you know, AMC just having like Shudder and stuff like that. Like, it's amazing to have a place, basically a port to have all these horror movies and have endless, you know, eyes on certain films and just documentaries that you guys do as well. It's really cool. So again, halfway to Halloween, it's coming up. Explain to me how you guys picked these five films, because you have Sinister, you got The Purge, you got Ouija, Origin of Evil, Insidious, Invisible Man. How these five films?
Well, listen, I mean, like, this whole thing began with kind of inspired by the recent merger between Atomic Monster and Blumhouse. Atomic Monster was formed by James Wan's company, and James Wan is one of the is the director of Insidious, and Insidious is celebrating its 13th anniversary this year. So, it felt like a good time to put that back in theaters and surround it with some of the early Blumhouse movies that put Blumhouse on the map. So you've got, those are represented by Insidious, Sinister. We also have The Purge, Ouija Origin of Evil, and then the 5 days is capped with the Invisible Man. So halfway at Halloween is just a celebration of obviously the Halloween season and marking our halfway point there, but also kind of reflecting on Blumhouse's early days and also giving a younger generation of horror fans, man, that probably didn't get to see these movies in theaters, and we're 5 movies deep into Insidious, 5 movies deep into The Purge, and we have another Universal classic movie monster on the way with the Wolfman. So let's create a primer for everybody and also give fans who maybe saw Insidious, The Red Door, and didn't know what franchise it was part of, and give them an opportunity to go see Insidious and see where it all began. So, it's a collection of, it was the motivation was like sevenfold. It was just like it was like, let's just go. And AMC Theaters wound up being incredible partners because, we're doing this in 100 theaters, 44 markets, and let's just flood the theaters with horror, like with scary movies.
Dude, you guys can't st it, you guys never make enough for me. I gotta be honest. It's just like I go through these like I go through like my wife's pasta on Sunday evening. It's just I just it's just not enough. Speaking of the Purge, so I need to ask you because again, I just the debate that we have, especially with the podcast I do, Gore Buddies, with my buddy. We go through the Purge, and we both have two different things. Like the original Purge is such a it's a great original idea. Are the next ones after that, do you consider them more horror movies, or do you consider them more like action films?
Oh, interesting. Yeah, because the first one really is just like a classic siege movie with masked killers, and that has all the hallmarks of a scary movie, and that's, and when you kind of put it in a bucket, it would be a horror film. Yeah, I almost see like the sequels as incredibly dark action thrillers. Because they remind me of the early films of like Walter Hill. I think about like The Warriors. I think about 1970s grit, where you had these kind of, even in the 80s too, man, like you had like these action movies that had hallmarks of scary movies. You had like just jacked up dudes with flamethrowers and masks, and we as horror fans would walk into the video store and be like, whoa, what is that? Because we see something, we see a masked killer, and we're like, that's going to be a scary movie. Then you're like, oh, I buckled up for an action movie. So I would put them in the action thriller category.
It's funny you talk about the Ryan Turk's joining us right now of Blumhouse. You talk about going to the video store, right? Go in, you might pick a video because you see the cover, you see the back, maybe you see a little like a hot chick on it. It's like, oh, there's a little, maybe some nudity, maybe I'm lucky here. And you bring it home, and then a lot of times like you go and watch it, go, this did not match what the cover was. Which was, if is there a movie that you recall going into like a movie, into a video store and you picking up being like, wow, this nailed it. I didn't expect this movie to be as perfect as it was. This was a random pick, but it blew me away.
Oh man, I would have to say Pumpkinhead.
Ooh.
Pumpkinhead was, I remember the cover was like a demon, and it was like the demon of vengeance, but it was just like the VHS cover was dark and moody and had this demon on the cover. And even like it was a recreation of what was in the film, like the artist did an okay job of it. And then you watch the movie and you're like, yes, this delivered and then some, nailed it. You want some Pumpkinhead? You got it. And he, you know, and you know, it was directed by Stan Winston, who, you know, is one of the greatest effects guys of all time. He gave us the Terminator and so many more, Predator and even Aliens. And this was him going nuts. You know, he was like, you want a movie about a vengeance demon, you know, taking revenge for Lance Henriksen and, you know, going after all these kids, you got it. And I'm going to show it to you in the best way possible. Like, he knew exactly how to shoot that movie. And and I still watch Pumpkinhead and I'm like, it looks so real. The way he moves, the way it's shot, he's got expression.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's fantastic. I love that movie so much, but that delivered the goods. When I rented that from Mad Mike's Video in Wallingford, Connecticut.
Yeah, I would go to Video Visions, and I got to tell you, it took a long time to find a couple movies that actually nailed it. But I mean, dude, every weekend you just go home and you just pick one and you cross your fingers that it's good. I was lucky to find Army of Darkness and that type of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, that was the thing. Like, it's, you know, with streaming, you know, you don't like something, you just hit pause or menu on your Apple TV, then you find something else. When during the video store era, you buckled up with three movies, that was a commitment. That was it. Like, you had no other out. Like, that was your weekend. And you're like, oh, man. Okay. Well, I guess I'm going to just roll the dice with this, even though I guess I'll finish it, you know, because you spent like $350 for the rental and you just really wanted to maximize that.
Right.
There was no going back.
You may even watch it twice just because it's like, F it. You know, I have to watch it again because I got to get my money's worth. And then you start to like it. It's like, that's one of my favorite things in the world, Ryan. Now you tell me this, because this is a whole different genre of horror movie.
Yeah.
It's like the bad, awful horror films that are just great. Like, one of my favorite movies is Megalodon Shark Attack 3. Yeah, it's just a terrible movie. but
I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about.
It's got the worst lines in history. The worst, like, you know,
yeah.
What is it? The I can't remember off the top of my head, but it's the sex line that just comes out of nowhere. And it's just so, the graphics are terrible, but you sit there and you just can't help but laugh. And it's not like Final Destination laugh. Like, I know some people watch Final Destination and go, oh my God, these deaths are so outrageous that I can't do anything but laugh. These are just, it's like National Geographic meets like a bad CGI.
And they're so bad. I raise you a ghost shark. I don't know if you've ever seen Ghost Shark.
I have saw the trailer.
There is an all-timer scene in that movie where basic concept is a shark has become a ghost, and anybody who's near a body of water or uses water, like say you go to the water cooler at the office, the shark can attack you from that water. And so there's a great scene where this kid is like using a slip and slide in his backyard, and the shark comes out of the sprinkler system. It's so good.
Right. Let me ask you guys, Ryan Turek joining us at Blumhouse. So you've gone on, I mean, the levels of movies that you guys make, I mean, obviously like Megan, which is incredible, and I have to get into that in a second, but then you make into, you know, these other movies like Ghost Shark. Like, when you're making those films, people clearly know the level of film they're making, right? I mean, there's not a point where it's like getting tricked into, oh, Ghost Shark is going to be the next Jaws, right?
Yeah, well, to be clear, we did not make Ghost Shark, thankfully. But you know, the whole philosophy behind Blumhouse is welcome scary movie directors into our system, give them the creative freedom they need to tell their scary movie, and, you know, deliver popcorn thrills and maybe some food for thought, you know, and find that equal balance between, you know, entertainment and pontification about what's going on, you know, in the world today. I mean, like every horror movie does that. Every horror movie has done that. And I know that there's been a weird pushback on scary movies having something to say, but I'm like, George Romero had a lot to say about in Dawn of the Dead. Hate to tell you that, but he did. And even Day of the Dead and even Night of the Living Dead. But, you know, so yeah, the audience, you know, the filmmaker understands the assignment. You know, we work in somewhat smaller budgets than kind of the bigger studio Hollywood system, but in forfeiting those giant budgets, they're getting the creative freedom they may not have gotten elsewhere. And they're betting on themselves, and we're betting on their vision and their unique worldview to tell, you know, a super scary movie.
So good, Ryan Turk joining us, Blumhouse, and the Halfway to Halloween series that's coming out on March 29th. It starts. It goes till April 2nd in theaters. Sinister, The Purge, Ouija, Origin of Evil, Insidious, Invisible Man, all in AMC theaters. You have two films that I am just obsessed with, and now you're having sequels to them, and it's going to be incredible. It's obviously Black Phone and Megan. Yeah. Megan is one where my now 10-year-old, going to be 11-year-old, was obsessed when the movie came out and watched it like three times. Like when I went and saw, again, I'm big, we talked about it earlier, Nightmare on Elm Street to me is like, I can't get enough of it. So when Freddy vs. Jason came out, I saw that like three times in 2 days in the movie theaters. Like I was just had to watch as much as possible. Just to have Freddy and Jason on the same screen at the same time was incredible. He did that with Megan. Like it was just that movie he was completely obsessed with, and it was a unbelievable film, like so much so that my wife was like, I don't know if I really want to see it. She went, it's like, it's just groundbreaking. It's the best thing ever. And I've never heard a bad thing said about Megan in that movie. Now there's going to be a sequel to it. Did you know how groundbreaking you, again, like you just talked about with you giving yourself the writers, the directors, everybody did the opportunity to just create and say something. That film itself, though, it's just such, it's amazing. When you're making it, you know how special it's going to be, right?
I think we have like a glimmer for sure. I mean, like Gerard Johnstone, who directed that film, he did a great film called Housebound. And Housebound was about someone who was under house arrest and discovers there's somebody living in their walls. And that's just like just such a fun concept. And so he brought that kind of black humor, dark sensibility to Megan. And I think there's a certain point where we're watching the footage coming in and we're like, oh man, Megan, like Megan, I don't think I didn't I don't sorry I don't think Megan was going to go viral. I certainly didn't anticipate that, but I knew that we had a special story on our hands, and I think we all agreed with that. But once that first trailer came out and people were seeing Megan running on all fours and doing a dance with the paper cutter and all that stuff, that's when we were like, oh, I think we have something here. And the movies in the movie, damn, I mean, like the movie, I'm so happy to hear that your kid has seen it multiple times, because that is kind of like the edgy, scary movie that my dad would take me to, where it was just on the cusp of just being R-rated. And you're doing good work as a
Well,
dad.
thank you. No, but now, in a serious question, though, again, that movie was like flawless. It was just amazing. And now, how do you guys approach the sequel? Because you know you have something special here. The original is so good. You feel the need? I mean, you tell me. You feel the need? You have to push something out right away, or did you already have a storyline in place before this was release was out?
No, and I can't talk too much about it, because I don't want to like have too many people peeking into the kitchen just yet. But it know that we're raising the stakes, we're raising the game, and we're gonna do it thoughtfully. There's no kind of feeling of let's move quickly just to get a sequel in theaters. That's never really the case with us. We kind of have a after opening weekend, we kind of have a thoughtful conversation of like, okay, what else is there to tell? What else, what other stories do we have? In the case of something like Black Phone 2, Scott Derrickson and Cargill, who's one of the writers on the film and one of the producers, after that film came out, they were like, we do know where it's going to go after this. So we're very excited for that next chapter as well. But yeah, I mean, like it's, in the early days of the 80s, now Friday the 13th, which is one of my favorite franchises to match your Nightmare on Elm Street, they did one of those a year. Like almost like there was a period where there was one a year. And it was kind of all over the map. You had the Tommy Jarvis trilogy halfway through the franchise, but you could tell that they were just like, okay, do we do one more Jason killing campers, or do we have a survivor like that you follow follow his journey over the course of three movies? Nightmare on Elm Street's a little bit more cohesive. Texas Chainsaw Massacre is all over the map. Halloween is all over the map. So it's like, let's not follow enough footsteps. Let's tell something that is has a cohesive storyline if we're going to be doing multiple films.
If you're a big Jason fan, Friday 13th fan, which is your obviously take away the original because you can't beat the original. What is your favorite Friday 13th?
I would probably say four, with
Final chapter?
Corey
Is that
final.
the one where
Yeah, that's a
Feldman?
yeah, Corey Feldman. Because that was the first one I ever saw. I remember staying with my grandmother in Jersey, and it was like Halloween night, and she put me to bed, and I turned the TV on really quietly, and both Friday the 13th, the final chapter, in Psycho 3, we're doing a double header on like WPIX channel 11, and I just stayed up and watched both of those. And when I saw Friday the 13th, the final chapter, that was the one where they introduced Corey Feldman as like a young kid who loves watching scary movies and reading Fangoria magazine, and I was like, that's me, and I get to watch and like I get to see myself on screen, but I'm taking on Jason Voorhees. That's crazy. So yeah,
That's
it's one of my
incredible.
favorites. It's one of my favorites.
So I'm running out of time, Joe Ryan, and I appreciate it. You're phenomenal,
Oh, thanks, man.
and this is just I would love I could do this all day. I'm sure you're gonna have to, and I
Same.
apologize. But
Yeah.
real quickly, give me Obviously, we talked about Megan 2.0. We talked about Black Phone 2. Give me your next favorite movie that's coming out that Blumhouse has done that you just can't wait for it to hit the screens.
Oh man, we have a film called Speak No Evil, which is a remake of a foreign film that's on Shudder, and it's phenomenal. It's just so good. James McAvoy is one of the leads, and we're shooting Wolfman right now, and the Wolfman is awesome. That's all I'll say. It is awesome, and it's directed by Lee Whannell, who did The Invisible Man, which is part of her Halfway to Halloween series. So we're putting our mark on another beloved Universal classic movie monster, and I'm so excited for it.
Ryan Turek, Blumhouse, thank you so much for the time, man.
Hey, thank you.
I would love to do this again. Because this is a genre. I'm a sports guy. By the way, we're on WFAN. We talk sports all day, but this is what I obsess about when I'm not talking sports. I'm talking about horror films on a daily basis. So I
Heck
appreciate
yeah.
you giving me that fix.
Of course, man. No. Sports, horror, rock and roll. Like that's the trifecta for a lot of horror fans. So, and wrestling. But I love all of
And
it.
wrestling, dude. And by the way, my favorite thing that you said today was, because I'm a big MMA fan, so UFC, I love the UFC events. And Dana White, after every single fight, he goes, "I don't make fights after an event. Like, I don't sit there after an event just happened and then try to plot out what we're gonna do." So I love the fact that you guys are so, even though a movie comes out, you guys are in discussion already of thinking ahead. But you're not going to just jump the gun and just make a sequel because, okay, bam, we have to now. You guys are very plotted out. I love it. So, Ryan, thank you so much for what you do because you
Oh,
give me
thanks, Pete.
that.
Thanks, Pete. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on this morning.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.